Hello, everybody. Today it's time for Echo, Part 3, Chapter 3. The morning was gray and yawning when Papa crowded his belly behind the wheel of the truck. Mama sat next to him, in the middle, and Ivy leaned against the passenger window. They stopped in front of the post office. Ivy tried not to cry as she climbed out of the cab and slipped the letters for Miss Delgado and Araceli into the mail slot. A few tears spilled out anyway. Before climbing back in, she took one last look at La Colonia, now a soft blur in the dense fog. Papa inched the truck toward Highway 99, squinting at what little road he could see in front of him.
One year ago in December, we came to Fresno. It was foggy then. It is foggy now. Nothing has changed.
Ivy stared ahead. Even though Papa was talking about the weather, how could he say such a thing? Everything had changed, including her. She could even point a finger at the exact day 3 months ago when her life had become different. September 8th had started like so many other first days of school. A new teacher, a new classroom, and a nervous stomach. As always, Fernando insisted on walking her to school, holding her hand as they headed down the country road, grape fields on one side, almond trees on the other.
"I want everyone to see that you have a protective older brother," he said. "Besides, I need to tell you something. Can you keep a secret?"
Ivy nodded. "I love secrets."
"Today is an important day. Do you know why?"
"Because it's your birthday? And my first day of fifth grade?"
"There's something more. Do you remember what happened last December on the day after we arrived in Fresno?"
"No one can forget," she said. "Pearl Harbor." It was Sunday, and they had just stepped from Our Lady of Miracles Church when a man ran toward them, waving his arms and yelling. The United States had been attacked by Japanese bombs in Hawaii. Papa had hurried the family home. All afternoon, they'd huddled around the radio. Fernando squeezed her hand.
"Do you remember how President Roosevelt declared war the next day? And I said I wanted to enlist?"
She nodded. He and Papa had listened to the news night after night. Even then, Fernando had that look in his eyes, eagerness, frustration, and wanting to do something. "Yes, but Mama said the war would be over before you were old enough to..." As she realized what it all meant, she stopped and looked up at him. Today was his 18th birthday.
"Nando."
He knelt in front of her and held her arms, looking straight into her eyes.
"I am going with two of my buddies this afternoon to join the army, but I need your help. I don't know how long it will take, and I don't want Mama or Papa to worry. If they ask where I am this afternoon, can you tell them I took someone to the train? It is not a lie. We are dropping someone at the station on the way. And tell them I'll be home in time for dinner. Can you do that?"
Ivy didn't like this secret. It tasted sour, but she nodded.
"How long before you go away?"
"About 3 weeks, I think."
He hugged her, and they continued walking.
"I will tell them tonight, so not a word until then."
The rest of the walk to school, Ivy was quiet, trying to make sense of what this would mean for their family. Hadn't Fernando and his buddies said they knew people who tried to enlist but were refused because they weren't fit for the military? Maybe the same thing would happen to Fernando. After all, war was something for men, for soldiers, not for a boy who teased and pulled her braids and played hide-and-seek. Fernando was quiet and gentle. He took things apart and reassembled them to see how they worked. He fixed broken things, often asking Ivy to be his assistant and hand him the tools. He was a tinkerer, not a fighter. She was sure the army would realize soon enough that he was not suited for war. Even so, the secret pestered her all day. Her new teacher, Miss Delgado, was round-faced and rosy-cheeked with short curly hair. As she assigned desks, went over classroom rules, and taught lessons, Ivy worried how Mama and Papa would react to Fernando's news. Would they be angry, disappointed? Could they forbid him from going? An hour before the final bell, Ivy gazed out the window, watching three squirrels scamper up and down the tree next to their classroom, her mind still on Fernando. Miss Delgado clapped her hands to get everyone's attention and called them to sit on the floor. Miss Delgado cradled a box on her lap.
I have a surprise for you. Our local radio station is doing a promotion to help raise money for the war effort and to help our school.
She held up a stamp booklet.
When we save enough war stamps to fill this book, our class will be invited to perform on the radio.
Everyone's eyes grew wide.
You can buy 10-cent war stamps at many stores, Miss Delgado explained. Once the booklet is filled with a little over $18 worth, it can be turned in for a savings bond, which in 10 years will be worth $25 for our school.
What will we sing? Someone asked. Miss Delgado shook her head.
Other classes will sing. Our class will do something extra special.
She reached inside the box and took out a shiny harmonica.
These were donated to me. They've been restored, like new. And there is one for each of you to keep. I'm going to teach you how to play. I am hoping we can make beautiful music together.
Everyone clapped and cheered. One by one, Miss Delgado called names so each student could choose a harmonica from the box. When it was her turn, Ivy looked inside. The afternoon sun streamed through the windows and glinted off one of the harmonicas, making it shine brighter. The intricate carvings on the cover plate looked more distinct than the others, more deeply carved, and somehow fancier. Ivy wrapped her fingers around it. Returning to her seat, she examined the harmonica and traced her finger over the tiny red M painted on one edge. Did the other harmonicas have letters on them? Had the person who owned this one before her had a name that started with M? Miss Delgado taught them to breathe in and out of the harmonica to make sounds for the different notes. She gave them each a booklet, Harmonica Playing Made Easy, and taught them to follow the harmonica tablature for a Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Soon the room filled with confusing noise. Miss Delgado tapped her chalkboard pointer to quiet them.
Let's try it together.
Ivy concentrated, following the notations above the words. From the first phrase, her harmonica sang above the others. Up above the world so high. Clear and resonant, the tone haunting and silky. Like a diamond in the sky. She closed her eyes and felt herself float in the blackest night among shimmering crystals. One by one, each child stopped playing to listen, until Ivy was the only one making music. She opened her eyes. When she realized that the entire class was staring at her, she stopped.
Ivy, do you play a musical instrument? Asked Miss Delgado.
She shook her head, embarrassed.
That was lovely. You have a gift, a real talent for music. I imagine you could learn almost any instrument if you tried.
Ivy felt her cheeks blush with pride. Miss Delgado turned to the class.
I want everyone to practice at home and to start saving your pennies for war stamps.
But Ivy could only hear her earlier words playing over in her mind.
You have a gift. A real talent for music.
Miss Delgado might not have known it, but she had planted a seed that wouldn't stop growing. Mama had a talent for sewing and gardening. Papa had a talent for irrigation and supervising. Fernando had a talent for knowing how things worked and fixing them. Now Ivy had one too. Had it been inside her all along, just waiting to be discovered? After school, she was grateful she had the harmonica to show Mama and Papa, and the radio program and stamp books to discuss, to keep her mind off Fernando's secret, while Mama prepared his birthday dinner. When at last he came home, he seemed to have grown taller as he announced,
"I enlisted in the army. I want to protect our country against Germany and Italy and Japan. It is my duty as an American."
Papa had clapped him on the back, looking proud and resigned. Mama wept. Even after Fernando hugged and reassured her, she couldn't stop. So he'd asked Ivy to play the song she'd learned on the harmonica to lighten the mood.
Again, the warm, pure sound seemed to startle all of them. It had even stopped Mama's tears. For the next 3 weeks, Fernando begged for songs every night. "Please, Ivy, I'll pay a penny for a concert, and I won't pull your braids." Ivy was happy to oblige, surprising even herself with how quickly she learned. She hardly needed to look at the booklet. At every spare moment she practiced, the more she played, the more the harmonica seemed to fill her with a bravado and a worthiness she'd never felt before. Those were happy evenings filled with sweet memories, all of them around the dinner table, Fernando reveling in the music and singing along, Mama and Papa lingering with their coffee, laughing, and sometimes clapping and singing too, all of them clinging to their togetherness. The night before Fernando and his two friends left for basic training, he brought Ivy the jacket. "You can wear it until I return."
"But Nando, it's 80 degrees outside."
He draped it over her shoulders.
"You'll thank me in winter when you're freezing to the bone. Remember what you do when it's cold and your blankets slip off at night?"
She nodded. "I always call for you, and you always get up from your bed and put the blankets back on me."
"Well, I won't be around to do that anymore. So I'll have to keep you warm with my jacket. If you wear it to bed, it can't slip off."
She giggled. "I might wear it, but not to bed." Fernando put an arm around her.
"Regardless, I want you to know that I'm still looking out for you and keeping you warm and safe, even from far away."
The weight of his leaving settled on them.
"Who will fix things when you're gone?" she asked.
"You will have to be the one to fix things now. Ivy, when I'm gone, you need to be a good little soldier for Mama and Papa."
"But I don't know how to fix things. I don't have tools."
"There are other ways to fix things. When I'm away, our family is going to be a little broken. I'm counting on you to hold it together. You're smart. Keep doing well in school. It will be one less thing Mama and Papa have to worry about with me away at war. You're talented. You do have a gift. You saw how your harmonica playing brought joy to us these past few weeks. Keep playing. More than ever, Mama and Papa are going to need a little joy in their lives. You're caring, and Mama and Papa are going to need that kind of support too, especially if my letters are slow to arrive, or if something happens to me. So you see, you do have the tools. You'll do that for me, yes? Fix things while I'm gone and hold our family together?"
He held out his little finger for her to seal the promise. She locked her little finger with his.
"But nothing is going to happen to you, right?"
"Not if I can help it." Fernando opened his other hand and offered her a penny. "One more song before I leave?"
She took the penny, put it in the zippered pocket of the jacket, and began the tune to the lyrics, "Over hill, over dale, as we hit the dusty trail, and those caissons go rolling along." In her mind, she saw a dark forest where Fernando ran through briars and brambles, lonely and afraid, struggling to find a way out. A menacing shadow crept after him. Fear made her breath quicken. She dropped the harmonica and it clattered to the step.
"Be careful, Nando," she said, burying her head in his arms.
After basic training, Fernando's friends came home for leave, their heads shaved, arms muscled, and faces weathered. Their families besieged them with home cooking and affection. But Fernando never came home. Instead, he went straight to advanced training. The army thought him perfectly suited for war after all. Ivy and her family learned to live like so many others, letter to letter. Her class had filled the stamp book and was invited to perform on the Colgate Family Hour. Together they would play Auld Lang Syne. After, there would be a solo of America the Beautiful. When Miss Delgado chose Ivy for the solo, she had cried from the excitement of it and immediately wrote to Fernando to tell him. For 3 hours, the truck crawled on Highway 99 behind the hazy red taillights of the cars in front of them, the fog still a thick soup. Papa downshifted the gears, and the motor groaned as the truck began the slow grade up the mountain.
"How much longer?" asked Ivy.
"Another few hours. First, we must get over the ridge and through Los Angeles. We'll stop soon to stretch."
The truck climbed, the fog thinned, and the world brightened. In one magical instant, as if someone had snatched a gray veil from their heads, a blue sky startled them, and the noses of mountains jutted forward, radiant and dewy in the glare of the sun. Papa was right about one thing. The weather was better.